This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Oh, boy. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. You can find me online at Ryan Recker on Twitter, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. Some of the headlines: Zelensky accuses Putin of breaking pledge to Trump by striking energy targets. So Zelensky says Putin's words are very much at odds with reality as he hits out a fresh Russian strike on Ukraine. He accuses Russia of attacking energy facilities despite pledge from Putin to avoid such target in 30 days. Russia's defense ministry also accuses Ukraine of targeting one of its oil storage facilities, calling it a deliberate. Putin rejected a ceasefire during the phone call with Trump on Tuesday, saying he wants more conditions on it. This is the latest updates from the BBC, and we'll see what kind of conversation happens today between Donald Trump and Zelensky. Trump and Putin speaking yesterday. This is really one of the big stories that are on edge. And that's just one of the many stories on edge because you have Israel and Hamas continuing to go at it with each other.
Well, here's my question.
Another thing.
So this agreement that Putin made with Trump yesterday, and I guess Zelensky was, for what was it, 30 days, we will not shoot at any energy infrastructure. Okay, great. Right. I can see why that's important. If it's limited to that, does that mean we're still going to shoot the crap out of you guys, but we're just not going to go after your energy infrastructure?
Yeah, it's not, you're not negotiating in good faith if you're saying we want to leave the door open for other bombings.
Right. Energy infrastructure. We draw the line there.
Which is not good. And that is something that I understand why Zelensky, as a leader of a country, would say, what's the point of doing this if you're still going to bomb us? It's not a ceasefire if you're still firing. So if they're the only ones that are going to participate in the ceasefire, then it doesn't make sense. It's kind of like Israel and Hamas in a way, where is Israel the only one that's going to abide by a ceasefire when Hamas doesn't release hostages and continues to conduct these terrorist attacks? Then what's the point? So much of this is it's different, but there's some similarities in the two. But one of the other similarities, unfortunately, is there's not really an end game for peace that's realistic at this point, unfortunately. Let's take a look at the shortlist, if we could.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
They hate government. Government's a barrier to people, a barrier to stop them from doing things. They want to destroy it. We are not letting them do it, and we're united.
All right, that was Schumer with his... You didn't build that moment. Remember when President Barack Obama came out with his rant? Hey, business owners, you didn't build that. when talking about their businesses and the things that they literally did build. Chuck Schumer has the very same philosophy and mindset with it, which is you need to be more thankful for the government who steals from you. That was Chuck Schumer.
So no matter what a judge says,
he's taking the side of a bunch of criminals.
He hasn't taken any side yet.
Stopping violent gang members from being deported, which they should have been deported a long time ago, but still stopping the deportation of violent criminals who were ordered to do so, and to be on their side to try to prevent that from happening, that does question the motivations of why you're doing it.
Now, in the immediate aftermath of the Trump election and Trump taking office, it's gone from 11 million people across the border illegally to just a trickle, as in just a handful of people.
That was Governor Abbott on CNBC discussing El Paso as an example. He said in its prime, you'd see about 3,000 crossings a day. El Paso, 3,000 a day. Under Donald Trump, he said that number is about 9 crossings a day. 3,000 to 9, N-I-N-E. That's single digits. That's amazing.
There are 261 reasons why Americans are safer tonight, because 261 of those monsters have been taken out of our country.
That's Pam Bondi talking about America being safer with different violent gang-affiliated members in the United States that shouldn't have been here to begin with, from other countries coming in, living here, and being told they have to leave, not leaving. Now they're leaving. Or see you later. So that is one of the big stories today, too. Court orders and junctions and trying to figure out what the legalities of these things are. Donald Trump just did it anyway. So that is getting a lot of concern from Democrats this morning.
Isn't it just crazy, though, that the ACLU and so many of these other attorneys and judges are fighting against that? I understand a lot of the, you know, naturally the liberal appointed judges, like the Obama and Biden appointed judges, are going to fight against everything Trump does. But doesn't this seem like something we should all be able to get behind? Gang members, violent gang members being deported and sent back who, oh, also, by the way, were here illegally.
Yeah, I heard that the gang members were given a choice. You go back to Guatemala or we'll put you in the workhouse in St. Louis. They chose Guatemala. Is that true?
The conditions were not okay. You know what they want to do there? They want to put sort of like a memory marker is what I've heard. So that was, I guess, something that the Jones administration, Tashar Jones, the mayor, that's what she wanted to do, her administration. But they had also opened it up for the public's input. And that was also something that the public wanted. So what this memory marker is going to look like, I don't know, but that is apparently one of the things that will be eventually created there once it's fully demolished.
Does that mean a monument of some sort?
Your guess is as good as mine. Are they going to put like one of those things you stick in the ground that blows in the wind?
Pinwheel?
A pinwheel. Yeah, a nice little, you know, more like a permanent pinwheel.
A permanent pinwheel. Okay, that's one idea. I wonder, because at first you hear the conditions of the workhouse, and I thought, okay, you know, you don't want to have a resort for prisoners. And then when I was doing my late night talk show, I had people call in that had a stay at the workhouse, and they said, no, it is as bad as they describe it. I remember going back. One of the big controversies, it didn't have air conditioning during the summer and it was too hot. So they put in portable unit air conditioners to try to make it more comfortable. But in general, there was mold issues, rats, infestation, just terrible things. And I know that other people have pointed out in our prisons, we don't necessarily feed these prisoners the best either, but we don't have to give them moldy food either. And some of those things we're talking about, expired moldy food was being served to people.
Yum.
Not great conditions, but all things considered, there's not great conditions in a lot of different places. And one of the other problems that we had was people that were stuck in jail for a couple of years without trial. So they didn't have to be there to begin with if the justice system and maybe the backlog because of the prosecutor's office got their act together, which they couldn't. So there's a lot of other issues that were stemmed from the justice system in St. Louis that still aren't fixed. But
well, and there's a lot of
considered
the downtown jail, the city justice center, as they call it. There's a lot of issues with that one, too. Not necessarily the inhumane conditions that were described at the workhouse, but issues with a lack of guards and they'll yeah. How often, Carl, would you say that we hear stories of somebody like getting out of their cell and they're able to throw something in the window and then they're throwing things out of the high rise?
They were
starting fires.
They were sticking out of the windows.
Yeah. That throwing stuff.
Several times. Yeah.
I'm looking at some of these JFK files, and let's go through some of them in the next segment. I'm looking through a lot of JFK files. So there's one, and some of them are just more interesting than they are a puzzle piece that you're trying to fit together. And it talks about how the Cuban embassy in Mexico City and the embassy in the United States, apparently there was a phone booth outside the embassy. So they were monitoring anytime someone left the embassy to make a call back to Mexico. And then they talked about how that was wiretapped and how the people inside were using double speak in code, but they were able to encode the things that were being said, and it lays it out in the document. It's really amazing the amount of effort that goes into learning some of the most mundane things, but they really, really, really crossed their T's and dotted their I's in this. So we're going to go through some of those documents coming up next. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Cox. Don't go anywhere. 97.1 FM Talk.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Ryan Recker. And Carl, I have not figured out your theme for today when it comes to the music.
It is not an overall theme. It's just a birthdays and anniversaries kind of thing.
So what is this one?
This is Nine Inch Nails. Their keyboardist is born today. And okay. This is an instrumental version of this song because we cannot play the words.
I feel like this is what people would listen to if they were on acid.
Yeah,
this is one of their most popular songs.
For people on acid?
Sure.
They're pretty popular. All right, welcome
You've
back.
Heard of Nine Inch Nails, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is nightmare music for Kim.
Yeah.
On acid?
Let's go through some Kennedy files. Okay, where do you want to start?
They're on acid.
You know, let me just tell you in general what I've seen so far, and that will lead up to the most interesting document that most people are talking about. I find it interesting some of the code names that are used for certain agents, and there's documents that will go through and talk about certain, I don't know if you want to call them secret agents, but people that worked with the CIA that were giving them information, intel from other countries. And there's different sources, and they have code names. I'll give you some of the code names that are kind of cool. Codename Solo, codename Top Hat, codename Gimme, codename Fedora. That's how they list them in these documents to keep their identities secret. And each of them have their own things. Like, you know, for example, Fedora, KGB penetration. We furnish CIA leads penetrating the Soviet intelligence operations abroad. In addition, we've given the agency pertaining the organization's functions of KGB. So people that work with the KGB. There's one Solo furnishing information about the Communist Party and sources who has traveled to Russia. And there's other ones that talk about in China and just in general, more of it's organizational. So they keep things, you know, people understand where certain assets are in case they need them. So not a lot of information there, but sometimes they'll name names. I'll do a quick Google search and I'm like, okay, I don't think this person's alive, but there's internet documents of them living their life up until after, you know, they're passing somewhere in the country. There was one, people are talking about this one, and they look at documents, and what you'll find on the internet is they'll save a document and then they'll circle things in red. And what they like to show is parts of a document that is redacted. So there'll be brackets on each side of a word, which means that's meant to be blacked out if this information is ever to go out to someone that doesn't have the proper clearances. And there was a document
like
where
Ryan Recker.
Yeah. So it would be like Israel. So there's one where there's a bunch of times Israeli, Israel, Israel. So they're saying, okay, Israel played a part in the assassination of JFK is what the person that's posting this wants to lead you to believe. But let me tell you, I've seen a lot of documents. It is definitely not uncommon to see things that are blocked out on there.
Oh yeah.
So I think people are trying to give you the wrong impression. There was a document
on the internet.
One.
No way.
Wait, isn't it? Gary Underhill is one of the CIA agents that's mentioned in these documents.
Garrett Underhill, yeah.
Yeah. And it's something dated July 19th, 1967. It says the day after the assassination, he left Washington in a hurry. Late in the evening, he showed up at the home of a friend's in New Jersey. He was very agitated. A small clique within the CIA was responsible for the assassination, he confided. And he was afraid for his life and would probably have to leave the country. Less than 6 months later, he was found shot to death in his Washington apartment. The coroner ruled it suicide.
Right. Yeah. That was the one I was leading up to because I think that's the biggest one that people will point to because, so Garrett Underhill was an intelligence agent during World War II, recognized authority on limited warfare and small arms, researcher and writer of military affairs, first name basis with many top brass at Pentagon, intimate terms and a number of high-ranking CIA officials, was agency's unpeople who performed special assignments. And what you're describing there is, I think that what you just read there, the friends whom Underhill visited say he was sober but badly shook. They say he attributed the Kennedy murder to the CIA clique, which was carrying on a lucrative racket in gun running, narcotics, and other contraband, and manipulating political intrigue to serve its own ends. Kennedy supposedly got wind that something was going on and was killed. He could blow the whistle on it. Although the friends had always known Underhill to be perfectly rational and objective, they at first didn't take his account seriously. I think the main reason was, explains the husband, that we couldn't believe that the CIA could contain a corrupt element every bit as ruthless and more efficient as the mafia. So the accounts that were taken about him is that he never acted this way. And then when it happened, the assassination, he said, there's no doubt in my mind, mm-hmm. This is the CIA carrying it out. And then he shows, then he dies. He magically commits suicide.
And then Fletch took his credit card.
If JFK had caught wind of this and was worried, I don't know, would he have not been hesitant to ride in the back of a convertible where he is basically just a sitting target?
Well, it just depends what information was given to him. Let's say the briefings were given to him or were not given to him. So that's a really interesting one. Now, keep in mind, during these documents, they were just collecting any information possible, witness statements. It doesn't necessarily mean it was corroborated, but it's still very interesting. All right, you're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
At first, they said American exceptionalism doesn't even exist. That was a 2011 article written by a columnist at Foreign Policy, a couple of Harvard professors. And then they admitted, well, there is such a thing as American exceptionalism, but it died. And of course, those sort of articles and papers began popping up last year. But of course, we know it does exist, and it will as long as Americans don't take it for granted and never stop believing.
What kind of a country do we want to be going forward?
Charles Payne, host of Making Money.
I want to be that country that was number one, really enjoyed being number one, and did everything it could to stay number one.
I am so looking forward to this conversation with Charles Payne, Fox Business Network, and the author of Unstoppable Prosperity. Charles, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. That's a hell of a start. I appreciate it. That woke me
up. American exceptionalism. I tell you, what a great perspective. And you're right about it in many different ways. I think that a lot of times we do take it for granted. But the part that really frustrates me about it is those that strive for it are often shot down very quickly. Like in hate or love Elon Musk, he has done so much for America when it comes to his innovations. And now we're seeing his car set on fire. So we should all strive for American exceptionalism. We should recognize it. We shouldn't take it for granted, because that's the only way you move forward.
Yeah, and it's a blessing. There's a reason it happens here. There's a reason someone born in South Africa finds their fortune and makes their fortune here and changes the world in this country. And it happens over and over again. You know, you had NVIDIA, which was perhaps the most important company, publicly traded company in the world. Again, you know, you get a guy, I think he was born in Taiwan, Jensen Young. So, you know, and these two guys back to back on the same day having massive impacts. So it's American exceptionalism because of the backdrop, the history, and for the most part, you know, we've cheered and we've celebrated success. And, you know, we don't want to go down that, and we've been lured, but we don't want to go down that path where it's a four-letter word, and it's the worst thing to do, and we start setting guardrails and barriers for people to become successful. We've seen exactly what happens with that, and it's been really ugly and really heartbreaking to watch what's happened in Europe over the last two or three decades.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not a coincidence that these examples you gave and many others find their way into the United States and then make this wealth in this exceptionalism for themselves, and then they credit America. It's the ones that come from the outside in that are some of the biggest cheerleaders of America that really are telling. Financially speaking, kind of shifting gears, and I was listening to different experts. They're talking about the tariffs and everything that's going on with it, and they say, just give it 6 months. And once things start to level out, once these deals are made, we're going to be really booming. Do you think 6 months from now, we're going to be looking at things much differently than we are right now?
I think we'll have more announcements, more onshoring. You know, we've already had over $2 trillion in announcements, but I think we'll start to see ground being broken. Honestly, if we looked at this as more of a patriotic duty to our children and grandchildren, we'd keep them on for about 3 or 4 years. But, you know, already the media has been able to create such a scare. I was talking on my show yesterday of news articles and talking about economic uncertainty. This is the greatest period ever outside of the peak of COVID. I mean, there's more economic uncertainty, according to the news, than it was after 9/11. You know, I mean, so, and think of all the horrific things that have happened in the last two, three decades. And they're saying that this is the scariest thing ever. Well, you know, first of all, we have tariffs. We've had them since the 1700s. And it just doesn't, even logically, when someone says, well, you know, it's a tax on consumers. If you believe that, if that's the only thing that it is, then why would the country that we're tariffing apply tariffs on us? Why would they say, hey, they're going to tax their consumers, we should tax ours? I mean, it just logically doesn't make sense that maybe there's something to this. And going back in history, how effective was it? When did we use it? And the way it's been articulated in the media has been so crazy. It's a threat to the establishment. It's a short-term threat to corporate profits, but by a small margin. But they've been able to control our lives where we now they are the sun. Our lives revolve around somehow Main Street. Lives revolve around every 3 months and these quarterly earnings, and that somehow, if some company says, "Hey, our earnings went from 21% to 20% this quarter," that we all should, be upset about it.
I know egg prices are still up and people are still panicked over the prices they're paying at the grocery store, though I did hear that overall a lot of the prices minus eggs are going down. The figure that people I've heard talk about this issue is that they give presidents, I think, like 2 to 3 months to see if they can make a difference. And then it's like, oh, well, I'm just frustrated. They're not doing anything. From your perspective, how long would it take a president like Donald Trump to be able to actually make change and drive some of these prices down at the grocery store?
Well, just so that you know, egg prices are down 50% from their high in just the last 3 weeks. They went to $8.50, and now they're far less than that, far below the inauguration price. They'll work their way to your supermarket as these wholesalers, the eggs that they already paid top price for. And once they sell those, you'll see shockingly major decline. So egg prices have already dropped dramatically in the last 2 or 3 weeks, dramatically, almost 50%. Gasoline prices are going to be coming down massively. Crude oil is now from 76 to 66. So two major inputs in everyone's lives are going to see massive declines here. 2 months to turn around a $30 trillion economy, it's just so unrealistic. It's how long does it take to turn around, the earth? I mean, it's just... It really is just totally, totally unrealistic. And, we're part of the problem is that this short-termism it dominates our lives. Everything is how quickly can something be done, even if it means it's not necessarily done properly. And so it's up to the administration to articulate how long that is going to take longer because it's something that's worthwhile doing. If someone built a 100-story skyscraper in your town, and they build it in a week, would you move into it?
Nope.
Probably not, right? All right. So, there's something to the notion that doing something that's changing the course of things. And by the way, people are used to things, right? People are accustomed to things. And even all the waste, fraud, and abuse, and I even would throw in theft, even those trillions of dollars find their way into the economy. So it's not an easy process, per se. But it's a worthwhile process, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to modify my answer about the skyscraper only if the Amish were building it. Trust it, because they're the only ones that can build that quickly.
If that's the case, I'll take the penthouse. Yeah.
Charles Payne joining us, Fox News in business. I got to say that I saw an opinion piece, and I wish I could remember who wrote it, but they were comparing the attention to the stock market that Donald Trump had in his first term, and now the attention to tariffs in the second term, why tariffs are more of his focus point than the stock market. Why do you think that is? Why do you think the shift is there and the stock market's not his number one?
Well, first of all, his focus isn't on tariffs. No, the administration wants to be measured. They want us to measure their success in three ways: treasury yields, oil prices, and the dollar moderating a little bit. And so far, all three have moved in the right direction. The stock market is very easy to manipulate on a short-term basis. Right now, we've had, and give you an example, there's a weekly survey, American Institute of Individual Investors, and it's been bearish, over 55% bearish 3 weeks in a row. It's only done that one other time in history, and that was March of 2009. So we were down. That was actually the bottom of the great financial crisis, and the market ended up turning around and really going almost straight up since then. So the stock market is the worst thing to measure day-to-day success on, particularly when there's so many variables. Money managers are selling all the U.S. stocks and plowing their money into European stocks right now. That's not a reflection of Germany's economy's been in a depression. I mean, they're going to spend a lot of money. And this is where I think people need to pay attention. Corporations, Wall Street, they don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about the country. They want to find money, and wherever they can find it, they'll go there. So the notion that Germany is going to now ditch their constitution because they have really strict limits on how much they can spend and how much debt they would want to go in. But they're desperate. They're afraid. And by the way, now they have to pay for their own defense now. And so Wall Street likes the idea that there's going to be a gusher of cash coming there, a gusher of cash. And again, it's going to mean higher debt, higher interest rates, just like we, the American taxpayer, pay $1.2 trillion now. That's not their problem. All they care about is whenever there's a big gargantuan cache of money, it flows into corporate coffers. No matter what, you helicopter this money, eventually it's going to find its way into corporate coffers, and then after that, into the top 1%. That's the way the system is made. There's no such thing as trickle down. It's all trickle up, you know. And so I think Trump got real smart on that. His first term, he tweeted about the market 156 times. So far, I think he's posted one comment on it, and that should be enough, because that's not how you measure this. This is a long-term project. And yesterday, there was a company called BYD, Chinese EV maker. And I'm going to probably talk about it tomorrow, because I've got the Fed today. And it's such an amazing story, because I remember when Warren Buffett started buying the stock at around $3 in 2008. It popped because Buffett got in there, and then it went down a year later. It got hammered, and I kind of lost track of it. Yesterday, it closed at an all-time high, up over $100 a share, and they're taking market share everywhere. But the point is that this was something like someone like a Buffett can see where something is going and invest in it and hold on to it. And I just wish more Americans had that much faith, even in their government, their country, whatever. Like, this short-termism in general is just destroying us as a nation. And we can't do the bold things that need to be done if we measure them day to day, particularly if we measure them against the backdrop of the stock market.
I got to say, I think everyone has their favorite superhero when it comes to the Marvel universe. If there's like a Fox Network universe, you're one of my favorite superheroes.
Oh, thanks a lot. Charles, I'm like Payne. the Incredible Hulk or something.
Host Making Money with Charles Payne on Fox Business Network weekdays, Unstoppable Prosperity. If people wanted to look you up online, I think it's just unstoppableprosperity.com. Is that right?
Yep. Get the book for free. We'll pay for postage and handling.
Charles Payne, this is a true pleasure. I've always wanted to talk to you on the show. I've never filled in a day that you were on, so thank you. I'm so happy.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it. All right. See you later, Kim.
See ya.
Okay.
We have one more segment, Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Got a couple more minutes before we say goodbye on this Wednesday. Still watching any calls that happen between Zelensky and Trump. Let's see if something can be done there, but it's not looking great so far. It doesn't sound like Putin wants to play ball. Kim, what were you saying? There's a story about Alec Baldwin out there.
Yeah, you know, I don't often feel bad for him, but there was a situation where I guess they were walking on some red carpet. It was like a Planet Hollywood. I'm not even sure. And his wife was getting interviewed about, I guess, some upcoming project that she has. It was so awkward what she said to him. And this is only part of it. She said more, but I kind of wanted to play, again, just a snippet of what she said on camera to her husband, Alec Baldwin. Listen.
The Ilaria Show.
No. I think we're going to see, you know, we're going to see how it feels to have it be out there.
It's going
to
be great. You're a winner.
Oh my God, when I'm talking, you're not talking.
I'm sorry.
No, when I'm talking, you're not talking. This is why, yes, we'll have to, like, just cut him out of the show.
What? And later she's like, you are so annoying. And she says it right on camera. They, of course, show his reaction, and his eyes are just, like, bugging out of his head, like, oh, did that really just happen? And you can tell he just feels completely disrespected, which he was. Yeah.
You know, he's thinking, if the cameras weren't here, I would have to the moon, Alice. happened.
That's what she was willing to say on camera. Think about what she says when the cameras are not rolling.
I haven't seen the reality show, but I've heard summaries of it that it is so boring, and Alec Baldwin doesn't know how to act as a regular human being unless it's scripted for him. And the show wouldn't exist if it wasn't Alec Baldwin that was short on money, and she's acting like somehow this is all because of her.
Yeah, she is something else. Show. I don't know much about her, but wow.
I'm talking.
Excuse me. You're annoying.
Excuse me. That sounds terrible.
Can you say diva?
You know, he's like, I need to rethink those charges against me. Maybe I want to go to jail.
Yeah, get away from you. Oh, my gosh.
Look, it's a vacation.
Gosh, how disrespectful. I mean, it's not like, you know, I understand that like getting interrupted can be irritating, but it's not like he was correcting her. He was trying to say like, you're a winner. It's going to be great. He was trying to build her up and then she just straight up cut him down.
All right. Okay. Do you want to hear a couple more JFK things before we go?
Let's hear it.
There's one, and we talked about this earlier, but it's worth bringing back up. It was a memo that was written back in 94 where John F. Kennedy Jr. called then Senator Joe Biden a traitor. You are a traitor. Just want to point that out. I'd like to know the full backstory to that because it's kind of just a quick thumbnail. Here's another one that I thought was interesting. So I was looking through a document where they're interrogating former KGB, and it's kind of interesting the way they lay this out. Here's a bunch of people and things we already knew. Here's the things they told us that we didn't know, including extra names. And there was one where the guy was kind of hiding his past, and they found out about it and confronted him with it, the KGB member. There was two things he hid. Number one, he had an extramarital affair with a friend of Inga Karlamova. And another was that he was hiding that he obtained treatment for a venereal disease.
Oh, lovely.
So now the world knows that this KGB agent was getting treatment for a venereal disease.
Womp, womp. Just what he wanted to get leaked.
So a lot of stuff like that is in these reports. And you're like, it's far and few between. I could look for an hour straight and that might be the only interesting thing that I was able to find so far in the hour.
There are 80,000 of them.
You have a lot of reading to do today, Ryan.
One KGB agent had venereal disease that he kept off his record because he was embarrassed by it. All right. Well, I got to say, there's going to be a lot more that comes out in it now that more people are getting their eyes on it. Who knows what comes out next? But Kim, Carl, hopefully give me the thumbs up to come back on Friday. I'd love to work with you again.
You have
thumbs up already.
You have a whole day and a half to look at the rest of the JFK files.
We expect a full summary.
You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com. Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.